On a sunny day in the Sunnydale Velasco project, kids play Tips, a made-up ball game on a makeshift court. But at any moment, that happy sound could be drowned out by this one. There have been at least 10 murders in and around Sunnydale this year, and countless more shootings than that. A resident recorded that one on her cell phone. Larry Jones has lived here for 35 years and describes what he calls a snowball of killing.
Sometimes you don't get a warning. It just comes. It's like a storm. It just comes. Bullets. You got to know what to do. Drop, run, duck.
I'm done.
Unfortunately, the children of Sunnydale are conditioned to know what to do, too.
I go to the front of my bed and get down.
10-year-old Kiana Frierson lost her uncle in one of those shootings. What does she think when she hears the rattle of gunfire outside her apartment?
It's like danger is coming my way and, like, things are gonna happen. And you don't know when they're gonna happen.
Sunnydale is gripped by gang violence. Even little Kiana knows all about the down-below gangsters and the rival Towerside gang from a few blocks away.
They have enemies that live here. Like, they don't get along.
We talked with longtime residents Harold Kyer and Alan Calloway about the recent gang warfare. Kyer moved to Sunnydale as a child, just before its infamous 1980s crack cocaine epidemic. He got shot, went to jail, and believes things are worse now.
It's more crime and violence than when I was growing up, definitely. It's at an all-time high.
At one point, you know, it was honestly like Baghdad. It was a gun going off every night.
You will never know until you actually come here what it really is that's going on or taking place.
Sunnydale is a complex of low two-story barracks-style buildings. It's the largest public housing development in San Francisco. In fact, it's the largest family public housing site west of the Mississippi.
Nestled in the middle of Visitation Valley, very near the Cow Palace.
Rosemarie Dennis speaks for the San Francisco Housing Authority, which owns and operates Sunnydale. These were originally World War II barracks, converted into subsidized public housing. Today there are about 1,700 people, many of them single mothers or grandmothers raising children, living in about 780 often dilapidated units.
They pay 30% of their income. People are generally low income here for a variety of legitimate reasons.
What did they get for their money? Dark, cramped apartments that Calloway says are not well maintained.
The housing over here, like they maintenance, is full of. And you can quote me on that.
He means that literally.
Sewage would overflow, and it would take a month or more for the city and county to send somebody over here to clean up our sewage. The stuff that's coming from somebody else's toilet flowing down your street.
Calloway has finally found someplace else to live, leaving his kids and their mother behind in Sunnydale.
I go by, I play with my kids, I deal with my kids, I talk to my kids' mother, I help out, I do my part. No, we're not together, but I do my part.
Including trying to get the housing authority to replace blown light bulbs, sweep up broken glass, and fix that plumbing.
It was rust coming out the tub. It was ants coming in the house. The sink needed to be fixed. Her heater is broke. And still to this day, these things need to be fixed.
We encourage residents to contact us immediately when they have concerns about their unit.
Larry Jones says the city does not always respond as quickly as residents want, but his neighbors are partly to blame for the mess and the blight.
It's a low-income area, and it's a lot of problems, but in terms of, like, the trash and things like that, that's resident predicated, so I don't blame that on the system.
Jones, who has lived here since he was 3 years old, traces the violence and pain plaguing Sunnydale today to what happened here 25 years ago.
Late 80s, when the drugs came, everything got out of control, and a lot of violence was just right there in your face. Rampant drug use, heroin addicts, crack addicts. Now you got a bunch of young kids who have been raised by their grandmothers, who are probably former crack kids with mental disorders that get no help. Running around with no hope and no conscience. They haven't been loved, so they have no love for people, which leads to a lot of on-site, senseless violence. They don't care about killing each other.
The children of Sunnydale don't seem to have normal reactions to the death around them, says Carlton Eichelberger, who runs the Boys and Girls Club in the heart of this housing project.
There is a desensitivity to the violence. They don't even recognize that this is abnormal. They've just kind of adapted and adjusted to living in a neighborhood like this.
A neighborhood where going outside to play shouldn't be a life or death proposition, but it often is, and the outside world doesn't even take notice.
There are crazy incidences that happen all the time that don't make the news. You know, a couple of weeks ago, there was a drive-by shooting at the playground where there were kids present. A guy got shot. didn't make the news at all.
Eichelberger's been here 7 years trying to give kids a safe haven from the violence. He says it comes with them to the club, though, in the form of severe post-traumatic stress disorder.
Whether it's learning disabilities, whether, you know, kids that are fifth and sixth grade who read at a first grade level, kids who have emotional outbursts at random times. You know, a lot of times you can say, oh, it's just a kid being a kid. But some of the excess, the way that the extremes at which it happens is just not normal.
Eichelberger's also worked in the Tenderloin, and he oversees the clubs in Hunter's Point and the Excelsior, too. He says Sunnydale is by far the worst of these neighborhoods.
A very unsafe place to raise a family.
10-year-old Kiana would have to agree.
Lots of people get killed around this area, and that makes the kids scared.
Her 9-year-old friend, Nani Blaylock, takes daily refuge at the Boys and Girls Club.
They keep us safe, and, like, we feel safe here, and, like, nobody's trying to beat us up or make us feel bad.
But Kiana knows when darkness falls, they have to go home.
In the daytime, it's the fun stuff. At nighttime, it's the scary stuff. Love for my Usos in Betrayal Hill.
Gotta love us for my Usos up in Sunnydale. Some of the boys living in Sunnydale strut the streets, acting tough because they think they must to survive, says longtime resident Harold Kyer.
They putting these images on, like me growing up, I put on an image of Harry O, and it covered up the Harold in me. And it's this mask that they're wearing to cover up their true self.
He was Harry O back in the crack-ravaged 1980s. Today, he's Harold again, working with teens in Sunnydale, trying to keep them out of the trouble he got into. But Kyer says the gang activity starts at an alarmingly young age.
Kids are putting the image on early on. We didn't run into this issue until our teens. See, some of these kids are now getting the image at 8, 7. His name is Pop Pop at 7. So now he's living up to Pop Pop. This little guy's name is Johnny Blow. He got to live up to Johnny Blow. So while he's living up to Johnny Blow and developing into Johnny Blow, what's happening to, say, Sam? What's happening to Bob?
This rap anthem celebrates these projects, incorporating a classic from the Summer of Love. But Larry Jones, who's lived here 35 years, says there's little love now on these streets, where one shooting quickly triggers another and another in senseless retaliation.
One isolated incident can lead to 2 or 3 weeks of nonstop shooting. There's always shooting, but it's only reported as the murders.
Jones says the kids with the guns have no sense of perspective or the value of life.
They don't see next month, they just see day to day.
One dramatic change in Sunnydale is the influx of Asians and Latinos. There are about 60 families now from China, Vietnam, and Cambodia. Many of these new residents don't speak English.
Some of them feel harassed. They talk about the shootings in the next door or people throwing rocks in them.
Marlene Tran with the Visitation Valley Asian Alliance interpreted for us as we talked with some of Sunnydale's Asian population.
Okay, anything that you leave outside, people will steal. He said that many people are not caring of the place they live in. There's a lot of dumping. Who has to live in that kind of situation? No decent person. Just because you're living in a subsidized home or low income, we are human beings.
Tran says there are few services for these non-English speakers. They often don't report when they're robbed or burglarized, and the housing authority hasn't done much to ease their arrival.
Most of them feel that their voices are not heard.
At Sunnydale's Boys and Girls Club, Carlton Eichelberger says many of these Latino and Asian families are being forced into the projects by the gentrification of their old neighborhoods.
A lot of families are getting pushed off from the Mission. A lot of families are on waiting lists for housing that live in the Tenderloin.
The housing authority, they should think of better ways to help the people, hear them, and find staff who are more caring.
Heard Loud and Clear insists the housing authority's Rosemarie Dennis.
External parties can't assume what it is that residents want to see. If you don't live here, you'd be hard put to speak accurately for what's in the minds and the hearts of the resident.
Dennis says she senses no racial tensions and is working closely with the people of Sunnydale to improve conditions.
There is a tremendous sense of community.
Hi.
Ramonica Grayson, the newly elected president of the Sunnydale Tenants Association, agrees with her.
Racial issues we don't have too much of. The kids around here, they pretty much mingle and merge with each other.
Yes, everybody lives behind bars and gates, but she sees a Sunnydale on the upswing.
Sunnydale was destitute for a lot of years. I was calling it the barren areas. We had, like, no resource for food.
There are still no stores here at all. There's a place to buy liquor and cigarettes a few blocks away. But Grayson runs a food bank giveaway now every Tuesday, and she says there's a growing sense of community here, with a teen center and a men's group, and the projects are only as dangerous as you make them.
If you cause a problem, you will be the problem. If you are making yourself a target, you are that target.
Grayson says what Sunnydale really needs are literacy programs and jobs, a sentiment echoed by many we spoke with here.
You'd have more people working. You'd have less people standing on the streets. They'd be tired from coming from work the night before.
But Marlene Tran says the subsidized housing model creates a disincentive to work.
If they find a job and they make some income, then they have to pay more for the housing. So it doesn't bring any kind of incentive. So I think it should be the reverse. They should be job training programs, and they should say that if you find jobs, I won't raise your rent so much.
What Sunnydale may get is a whole new look. The mayor's Hope SF program is working with the nonprofit Mercy Housing and the developer The Related Companies, who want to tear these barracks down and replace them with twice as many homes, complete with gardens and open spaces connecting the now isolated projects to neighboring McLaren Park.
It's meant to kind of bring to the residents of Sunnydale what other San Francisco neighborhoods expect their neighborhoods to be able to have.
Mercy Housing President Doug Shoemaker has seen no other public housing as blighted as this.
This is a shame. If you live in San Francisco, you should be ashamed that there are any people having to live with the challenges that people in Sunnydale have to live with. And it's time for us to own up to what is happening out there and really do something about it.
But Ramonica Grayson says she has seen redevelopment plans come and go.
I don't see it happening until they really come and actually tear down that first brick.
If the city okays it, Shoemaker says it'll still take hundreds of millions of dollars to build the new Sunnydale.
It's going to happen. It's just a question of when and how.
Larry Jones, who's working with Mercy as the neighborhood liaison, says anyone coming in to fix Sunnydale must change attitudes, not just put up pretty buildings.
It's a good community with a lot of loving people inside of it. I don't want you to think it's a place you can't step foot in, because there's beautiful days in Sunnydale. There's beautiful kids running around. There's good people trying to do good things. But you have a basket full of people pushing their agenda, and it's a negative agenda, and that's what gets exploited. So when you hear about Sunnydale, you're only going to hear the bad. But if you come over, you'll see it's different. We're trying to change it. We're going to change it.
Some of those beautiful kids aren't so sure.
My cousin, he got killed. Like, lots of my families are getting killed.
9-year-old Nani Blaylock is growing up afraid. She likes to listen to Michael Jackson and Alicia Keys, but says too often her music is drowned out by gunfire.
I'll go my mom's room and hide.
And 10-year-old Kiana Frierson has her own ideas about the future of Sunnydale.
I would just suggest for everybody to move from this place and not live here anymore, because then it's just going to put them and their families in danger.
Doug Sovereign, KCBS.